If you would, turn to Exodus chapter 9. And we've seen the plague so far. We've been through six of them, and we've come to the seventh. We got started a little bit last week, but the seventh, remember, they seem to be in groups of three. The first plague in the group of three, Moses and Aaron are told to go to see Pharaoh early in the morning. The second one in the group of three, they just go see Pharaoh. It doesn't say what time. And then the third one is a surprise, unannounced. So we are on number seven in chapter 9. Excuse me, verse 13. Last week we talked about, well, we reviewed and then talked about the plague on the cattle and livestock that died in the first part of chapter 9, and then the boils, the festering boils that were on the Egyptians and their animals. Obviously, we talked about a little bit last week, there's got to be a major disruption in the normal go about your day business. If something like these things were happening, obviously your day is interrupted, right? You don't deal with plagues and your life. Okay, most of you don't have livestock, but consider yourself back in the day. You would have, and you would have gone through these things, and this would have affected everybody in the land of Egypt. It somewhat affects those in the land of Goshen, the Israelites, although we know that they went through the first three, but after that, God has spared them all of these things, and it's happened to Egypt only. So the land of Egypt is going through quite a bit, and then everybody there gets struck with these festering boils that they have to deal with, and Pharaoh says, take them away, and Moses entreats God, and he does that. And then we come to the last set of three. This is number seven, the plague of hail, verse 13. We'll start down through here. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning. Remember the first one of the last set of three. So rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve thee. And this is the same thing he said to Pharaoh several times to this point, and Pharaoh has refused. For I will at this time send my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite these and thy people with pestilence, and that thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in every deed for this cause, I have raised thee up for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. One more verse, and then we'll talk about these. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. So God gives Moses and Aaron a little more to say to Pharaoh this time as we work down through here. look at verse 16. We're going to start there and then jump back and talk about the other. Remember, at the beginning of each set of three, God makes a statement to Pharaoh. The first one was back in chapter 7, verse 17. I'm going to flip back there and read it to you. It says, thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. We remember that Pharaoh said, I don't know who God is. I'm not going to acknowledge him. I don't have to let his people go because I don't even consider God. And God says, you're going to know who I am. And so he told him that for the first three plagues. The next time he gave a purpose is in chapter 8, verse 22, where it says, it talks about, "And I will sever this day in the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there." And then he says, "To the end, thou mayest know that I am the Lord God in the midst of the earth." He's saying, I am God and I am control of the earth. Now, the Egyptians, we know, in the earth worship many gods. And God's saying, I am above all of these, and you will know that. And then the plagues took place. As we get to chapter 9 in the last set of three, verse 16, God says, to show, in the middle of it, it says, "For to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared," where? Throughout the land of Egypt? All the earth. God says, these things are going to take place, and everybody on earth will hear about what's going on and hear my name. See, God had a purpose in these plagues that he brought about to Egypt. Yes, one purpose was to get the Israelites out of the land of Egypt and out from under bondage. And one was to work in the hearts and lives of the Israelites, because they went through the first three and then they saw how God spared them. And I'm sure he was working in their lives as well. And to work in the hearts and lives of the Egyptians and everything that they had to go through. And they were going to discover that God is the only one true God. And his purposes included that that would be known throughout all the earth at the time. See, many times we think, you know, we think in our lane. This is my lane here, you know. And this is where I walk, and God's working on me and situations around me. But sometimes we don't understand that many times the situation that he's working around me involves you as well. And in that situation that's going through that touches you, and maybe you, and you, and you, but maybe not you. See, God works in what kind of ways? Mysterious ways, right? We don't understand how God works in all of these different situations. Here's an example. Pastor's retiring. His life is going to change, right? It has already. Our life is going to change, right? It is. So that one event is going to affect many people. And God has a purpose in that. Do we understand that God has a purpose? Are we looking for God working out this situation and how he's going to work and his purpose? Maybe not just in pastor's life, not just in our life as a whole congregation, but maybe individually. Personally, things are going to change for each of us, right? In one way or another. And are we going to let God use that? So God works, again, not only in the Egyptians' life, in the lives of Israel, but everybody's life and Pharaoh's life and personal lives. It's amazing how God does that, but we see him doing that again. And he says, my name will be declared upon throughout the whole earth. So let's take a look at this, what he has to say here. I'm going to read a little something that somebody had to mention about here. First off, we see in verse 14, it talks about, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart. Again, who is the author of all these plagues that are taking place? God, right? God is bringing these upon the people of Israel. Now, we saw the magicians were able to duplicate the first couple, right? But then they fell short and they couldn't do any more. They were able to bring more water to blood, and they were able to bring more frogs, which didn't help anybody. It just made the situation worse. But after that, they couldn't compete whatsoever. It says, so you're going to understand that these are, if you haven't already, you will for sure know that these are my plagues and I've brought this and only I have done this. Also, it talks about upon thine heart or to your very heart or to send to the very heart. This, again, is a message to Pharaoh that this is going to, you know, some of these plagues may affect, you know, the people of his nation, but, you know, Pharaoh is somewhat isolated, just like, you know, government officials kind of isolated from everything else that goes on, right? Gas prices go up. What do they care? You know, they get driven here and there. They don't pay for gas. You know, food prices go up. What do they care? You know, they're provided for. So Pharaoh was probably somewhat insulated. God says, these plagues are going to come right to your heart. They're going to hit you personally. Everybody else has been personally hit, but you're going to be hit personally as well. It says after, talking about these verses, after sounding again the customary demand to release God's people for worship, and after delivering a warning of how his plagues would really have an impact, God provided more information and issued certain preliminary instructions. A threefold purpose pertained to the plagues. Namely, the Egyptians would recognize that Yahweh, or the Lord, was incomparable, that his power would be demonstrated through them, and that his name, character, attributes, and power would be known everywhere. Egypt could not keep from other nations her humiliation by the plagues of Israel's Lord. Something you probably don't think about is, you know, Egypt was a mighty nation, right? Powerful nation. Yet the other smaller nations or whatever around them saw what was going on, right? I mean, you can't keep this news to yourself, right? The place is swarming with flies so that you can't hardly see. There's frogs everywhere, so you can't hardly, you can't go, do anything without stepping on frogs or laying in bed. Do you think that news doesn't go outside of Egypt? The whole world was finding out what was going on, and the whole world was finding out what took place. And the whole world was going to know God's power. Number two, a declaration that whatever royal authority Pharaoh had, it had been because of God's sovereign and provincial control, right? By God's providence and through God's power, Pharaoh was put into place. Pharaoh thought he was put in place because of whatever. He won the election, although I'm sure it wasn't an election. Pharaoh thought that's why he had the power. God was going to let him know, and he was going to realize that the only reason he was in power is because God had a purpose. Remember, it said, verse 16, "For in very deed, for this cause, I have raised you up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name will be known through all the earth." God says to Pharaoh, "I put you there. It was because of me that you're there." Control of world affairs, which including putting Pharaoh on his throne, this was a telling reminder that he was what he declared himself, that God was what he declared himself to be, the one and only true and powerful Lord. So God's saying, and we understand that, right? Because we see in Scripture, God puts in control those who he will, and he takes out of control who he will. Even though we don't like maybe who he puts in control, they're there for a purpose, and God has a purpose for everything that goes on. And he's telling Pharaoh that. Jump to Romans chapter 9. Paul talks about this. In Romans chapter 9, he's talking about the Jews and their part in the gospel, and that the line of Christ came through the Jews. Verse 17 specifically is a quote from here. It says, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Paul here quotes in this chapter, quotes a lot of Old Testament scripture about what God has done in Israel. But we see this quoted in the New Testament as well, that God puts in power who he will and takes down who he won't. God is in control. A reminder of the worst scenario for Egypt, if the Lord had chosen, in lieu of the preceding plagues, to strike the people first. And that we find in verse 15. It says, "Now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence." And you notice the last part of the verse here. "And thou shalt be cut off from the earth." Better translated, you could have been cut off. In other words, if God, at this point, God was dealing with the people themselves. If God had started out, the first three were what? Nuisances, right? We saw God's power, but we saw they were more a nuisance. If God had started dealing with the people directly like he had here, they wouldn't have made it through all the plagues, is what he's saying. It would have come to the point, if I hadn't been merciful, that you would not even have survived. That the land of Egypt would have been what?
Destroyed.
Cut off from the earth. No more. If I hadn't shown my mercy to that point. As well, a declaration that the weather about to be unleashed by the incomparable God was unlike anything previously recorded in Egypt's entire history, since its founding or since it became a nation. It says, verse 18, "Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a grievous," we know that grievous means massive or hard or heavy or great, "hail, such as had not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof." So since the creation of this whole nation, you've never seen what I'm about to unleash on you. It's coming. And again, we see God says, when's it coming?
Tomorrow.
Why tomorrow? I'm going to give you a little time to think about this before it happens. Again, God's mercy, right? He could have said, right now, it's going to start. But he gives Pharaoh time. Let's continue on. There's one more thing here. Verse 19, "Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." What did God do?
He gave them a warning.
He gave them a warning. He gave them a way out. Again, he showed his mercy. Didn't have to do that, but he showed mercy and said, if you will heed me, you will be, if you want to call it, saved from the consequences, right? If you heed what I have to say. And those who heard the warning and listened brought their cattle inside and their servants inside. Those who said, I don't care to listen, I don't care to, you don't mean anything to me, left their servants and their cattle out in the fields where they normally are.
Showing the difference between
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is, if you oppose it.
Yep. Yep. Much of what we see throughout Scripture, right? Here's my words. Follow and obey, and there's going to be good consequences, right? If you will. If you choose not to obey, guess what? There's consequences as well. You choose. They had a choice to follow what was said or not. Do we have a choice? Sure. Every day, right? Multiple times a day, right? You have the option to follow what you know God says or not.
Take the Lord seriously.
Yes, exactly. He doesn't just say this to say words. So let's continue on. Excuse me. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb in the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, a thunderstorm like you've never seen before. And the fire ran along the ground. Everybody ever see lightning run along the ground? That's about what this was. excuse me. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. So the hail was fire as well. Very grievous. And again, that grievous means heavy or massive, great, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Just like God said, you've never seen anything like what is about to happen or what's happening. And God brought it upon them. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Stop and think about that. Every herb or every plant that was growing up at the time was broken down. Every, what else did it say? Every what? Every tree. Can you imagine looking outside and the trees are gone? Now, granted, maybe there are not as many trees in Egypt as there are here, but still, what would our landscape look like if the trees were all knocked down and destroyed? Sometimes you see something like that, right? A tornado goes through and you see all the trees knocked down. What if they're knocked down everywhere? God says, this is what's taking place. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was what? No hail. You ever drive into a rainstorm, you know, and your car's dry, and it, oh, here it is. Here's the line. There was a line. God said, here's the line. Egypt, you're getting it. The land of Goshen, you're dry. No hail, no firestorm, no lightning. You can see it in the distance, but it's not over here. God is the powerful one and only creator of the universe and has the ability to control nature of all things. I can make it hail here and not hail there. You'd have to be blind, right, not to see God's power in this. And Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned. This time the Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Pharaoh has repented and is going to let the people go. Yeah. Well, let's read what it says here. What does it say specifically? It says, I have sinned what? The next two words are what? This time. What's Pharaoh saying?
The rest of it
Yeah, okay, maybe I made a mistake this time, right? That's basically what it's saying. Okay, maybe I was wrong this time. Maybe the Lord is righteous and my people are wicked. You go and tell God to stop doing what he's doing. And I'll let you go. And we know that Pharaoh does. We'll keep going here. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. So, okay, Moses, or okay, Pharaoh, I will do that. I'll go out and talk to God, and he will stop that. I mean, just the fact that it starts when God says it starts, and as soon as Moses and Aaron go and talk to the Lord, it stops, is got to be amazing, not just to Pharaoh, but to all the Egyptians, right? I'm sure the news of this goes out and people know, yep, there went Moses and Aaron in to see Pharaoh again. And as soon as Moses comes out and he entreats God and everything stops. How awesome is that for those people to witness something like that? But Moses says, but as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord. In other words, Moses even understood that Pharaoh's confession was not heartfelt. And all Pharaoh was after was what?
Relief.
Some relief, yeah, from what was going on. I want this to stop. And I know how I got it. I know how I got to go about this. Okay, I have to say that I'm wrong and have Moses go tell God to make it stop. And that's what he did. Excuse me. And then it gives us a little description here. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. In other words, that had started to come up. So those crops in the field had been destroyed. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not yet grown up. Even the timing of what took place destroyed the first two types of crops, but the other crop that grew up a little later had not been destroyed. Even in this, God showed
mercy
again by not destroying everything. Time's up. We'll continue on next week. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.